A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, we celebrate a feast today, and normally a feast does not take the place of a Sunday Mass. Typically, Sunday Mass has a greater priority than any feast day of the church. But why today does the church say this feast ought to be celebrated even on a Sunday? It is the feast of the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran. What's the Basilica of St. John Lateran? It is the oldest church in the West, the very first church of Christianity in the Western world. It's called the Mother Church of all Christianity. And it is there in Rome that the Pope's chair resides. The Bishop of Rome has his cathedra. It is the Cathedral of Rome. Now I have a question though. Why on this feast, when we celebrate the church in a particular way, do we hear about the cleansing of the temple? A number of years ago, I was already ordained a priest, and my dad and I were taking a long drive. And it's actually one of my most beautiful memories with my dad. We had 6 hours together, and he was sharing with me all sorts of stories from his childhood, his adolescence. And there are many beautiful stories. This is one that I will never forget. He said at one point during his teenage years, he came home and he was prideful, he was conceited, and he was going to give his mom a little bit of his mind. And it got to the point he was so rude and disrespectful to my grandma that he made her cry. When his dad got home, when my grandfather returned home from work, my dad was sitting in his bedroom. And my dad said he remembers his dad walking through his bedroom door and he didn't say a single word. He just walked over to him, he's sitting on his bed, and he picked him up off the bed and he slammed him against the wall. And he said, "If you ever speak to your mom that way again, there will never be another time." And he threw him on the ground and he said, "Your mom has given her entire life for you." He said he never did anything like that again. And it was interesting when he shared that with me, immediately I had never thought about it before, but I realized I've never in my entire life ever sassed back to my mom in a serious way. I have never spoken disrespectfully to my mom. Because I knew my entire life, if I did, my dad would kill me. I almost mean literally, maybe not quite literally, but right? I just knew I would never dare do so. He would not permit it. Because that's his bride. When our Lord cleanses the temple, it's the most sacred place on earth. It is the house of his Father. But there's something more. What did the temple prefigure? He shares it at the end. It prefigured his body. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And what would his body become? St. Paul says, his bride. So when our Lord is cleansing the temple, what is he doing? He's defending his future spouse. My brothers and sisters, no husband will ever love his wife as much as our Lord Jesus Christ loves his body, the church. No husband will ever be more perfectly one with his wife or give himself more for her than our Lord has for the church. When was the church born? When was the church born? When did the church begin to exist? The moment our Lord Jesus Christ died. He died so that the church could have life. And when his side was pierced, blood and water flowed forth. Symbols of baptism and the Eucharist, symbols of the foundation of the church. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given everything of himself to his bride. His wisdom, his mercy, his love, his peace, his joy, and even his very self. When a person separates himself or herself from the church, they can no longer receive his body and blood. Because it's through his spouse that we encounter him most fully. Every once in a while, I'll be traveling or out in public somewhere, and someone will come up to me and they'll say, Father, I love the church, or excuse me, Father, I love God, and I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't have much like for the church. I don't agree with the church. And I say that you don't really believe in Jesus. At least not as you ought. Right? There is something missing from your belief. Because if you believed and loved our Lord as you're called to, you would love the church more than any created reality on this earth. I mean, she's your mother. It's funny, I realize I'm speaking strongly. In those moments when people speak disdainfully of the church, I honestly feel a little bit like our Lord must have when he cleansed the temple. Or like my grandfather when he threw my dad up against the wall. Our Lord Jesus Christ has invited me into his spousal relationship with the church. Right? It's why I don't have an earthly bride. Because he's called me to give myself to her. In such a profound way that it's like a spiritual marriage. When I baptize a child, I really become that child's spiritual father. And the church becomes his or her spiritual mother. We give life to souls. And so he's asked me to give up earthly marriage so that I can be totally given to his bride. And it's a reality that all Catholics ought to be aware of. It's mind-blowing, but in the times that we live in, the secular culture does everything to tear us away from the church. That we think that we can have Jesus without the church, and that is totally and utterly impossible. I close with this. Why did our Lord die for the church? St. Paul says, so that she could be holy and immaculate, and undefiled. The church is always those three realities. Holy, immaculate, and undefiled. My brothers and sisters, can the church sin? No. Never. It's impossible. And you say, but Father, I know a lot of Catholics who do a lot of things that aren't really good. And Father, I myself am Catholic and I sin all the time. And I'm a member of the body of Christ. Was there something wrong with the temple because people were making it a marketplace? When we sin, when a member of the body of Christ sins, we go against the church. We do something contrary to the nature of the church. And when we sin in a serious way, we so defy the church that we cannot remain a part of her. And our Lord Jesus Christ cannot continue to live in us because He is one with His bride. Let us ask our Lord for a great grace today. Jesus, I want to love your bride as you do, with all my heart, without reservation. And if there is anything that I have imbibed from the culture that is making me disdain or dislike or disrespect the church in any way, I ask you to purify my heart of that. Because I want my heart to resemble yours.